The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. That's right. It's time for our regional roundup. You're in the breakfast huddle here with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank.
All right. So let's get into it. Nearly 3 weeks since Malaysia tabled its budget 2021, but things are still not looking good for it. And of course, Prime Minister Mohidin Yassin.
And on the COVID-19 front, things don't seem to be improving in the country, with suggestions that the Malaysian government will ask the King to call a state of emergency in some constituencies to avoid by-elections.
Plus, we also have the world's biggest glove maker, Top Glove. They have had to close down the factories after thousands of its employees were infected with the virus.
Meanwhile, in Thailand, there is another massive demonstration planned for today, and it's being reported that 7 leaders of anti-government protests are to face charges of lèse-majesté.
This will be the first time such charges have been brought in more than 2 years. Let's find out more from Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha.
Always good to talk to you.
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Wonderful. Good to hear that. Now, let's talk about the vote on Malaysia's budget. Goodness me, what does it take to pass a budget? It could potentially decide the fate of Mohidin Yassin's administration. It was scheduled for tomorrow. It's now expected to be delayed to next week, December 1st. So why are these discussions going on like this and running behind schedule? And what's the sticking point for MPs?
Well, you know, ostensibly the reasons given have been that ministers haven't had time because to respond to issues that have surfaced over the budget, which is very, very contentious. That's also because parliamentary sitting has been cut short, you know, by half, I think, the time allocated. Mm. But, you know, these are the official reasons. Everyone's seeing this as just another delaying tactic. Mohidin Yassin government is tottering, and there are serious doubts about whether the two-seat majority that he enjoyed before coming into power is still there. Already we've had a death of one of the MPs recently, and a veteran politician, Tengku Razali Hamza, has publicly declared that he won't be attending the budget session. So that actually robs the current government of that two-seat majority. So everyone sees this as a delaying tactic, trying to, you know, kind of muster the kind of numbers enough to get this budget approved. All failing that, government will fall, I guess. You know? So we've got this.
Leslie, yep. There's another complicated scenario over in Sabah, because apparently the government in Malaysia is considering to ask the King to declare a state of emergency in Sabah. In particular, states like Gerek, Perak and Bugaya, they face by-elections, but the COVID-19 risk is quite high, right? So you already have the Sabah state election, which saw the country face another wave of COVID-19 infections. Then, of course, last week we talked about this, the King declaring a state of emergency in another constituency in Sabah. So, I mean, what are we looking at here? How necessary is it for these smaller states to go into lockdown, so to speak?
Well, you see, the current government seems to believe that weighing in with emergency declarations is probably the most effective to deal with the pandemic. But there has been quite a bit of opposition from several respected national medical associations that the current measures have not been effective and have only served to dull economic activity. And so many are calling for new approaches, you know, new approaches to, you know, that, and we need fresh, completely fresh, ways of dealing with this. But clearly, emergency isn't one of them at this point. So there is going to be opposition, I think, from MPs if the government decides to push on this front.
Okay, Leslie, in other dramas that are playing out in Malaysia, let's talk about the 1MDB scandal. It drags on. Former Goldman Sachs banker Roger Ng has asked for the foreign bribery case against him to be dismissed. He says he warned the bank not to do business with Malaysian financier Joe Low. Classic case of I told you so. Given the publicity of the 1MDB case, though, around the world, not just in Malaysia, is it likely that this case against Ng will actually be dropped?
Well, you know, I really don't think it's going to be dropped. Speaking to U.S. lawyers close to the matter, the DOJ is determined to get a conviction against. What is more is that we think that Ng could midway probably decide to cop a deal, you know, plead guilty and push for settlement with the DOJ when you won't have to serve jail time. But the lawyers I spoke to said that any deal is likely to include some kind of dispensation where he wouldn't have to return to Malaysia, where he's facing separate charges, and the authorities here are determined to, you know, get a conviction and jail sentence too. So I think, you know, how the U.S. deals with this is going to be interesting, because it will surely bring into question why Malaysia allowed him to be extradited to the U.S. before completing its own case against him. You know, and so, and if he doesn't, if some kind of deal is done with the U.S., that's going to bring clearly unwanted scrutiny on, you know, the Malaysian authorities that allowed for this to happen.
Leslie, we also have a situation with regard to Malaysia's top glove. They are, of course, the world's largest glove maker, and they've suspended operations in 28 of its factories in Klang, Selangor, after more than 2,000 employees tested positive for COVID-19. What else do we know so far with regard to this situation?
Well, you know, clearly things are bad. And I think it's going to cast a spotlight on how many of migrant workers, you know, that Top Glove relies on, you know, the conditions that they live in. So all of this, and, you know, glove manufacturers are making huge, super, super profits. And, you know, how these monies that they make are used to completely provide for the welfare of their workers is going to come under debate. And I think, you know, Top Glove has already been in the spotlight on this front. In July, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection banned imports from two of its units. And last month, the company decided to, you know, agree to pay compensation to foreign workers over recruitment fees and other kind of costs. So I think how companies that are making huge, super abnormal profits are going to come under scrutiny, and Top Glove clearly is right there on the list.
Okay, let's pivot now to Thailand. Leslie, it's being reported that Thai police have summoned seven leaders of anti-government protests to face charges of lèse majesté. And for those who don't know, that is a French term that effectively means, you know, disparaging comments or some sort of negative comments about anything to do with the monarchy. So this is a very serious issue in Thailand. You can get 15 years in prison for it. There is a major demonstration. It's planned later today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think this potential charge against protest leaders is a very important warning sign?
Well, clearly, this is a kind of a last-ditch effort by the authorities to try and head off any kind of major confrontation already, I think. And I suspect this is not going to help. People are already gathering, and, you know, they first decided that they would go and protest outside the Crown Bureau, which is actually the authority that manages the King's Wealth. But now police have deployed more than 6,000 personnel, you know, to the venue. And we understand that protesters are now set to meet at the headquarters of Siam Commercial Bank, a company in which the King owns a stake of more than 23%, and it's part of the royal assets, actually valued at tens of billions of dollars, you know. So I don't think this is going to help quell anger. If anything, it's going to embolden the protesters. They've been making strides in their campaign, and clearly they're not going to let up now. Some tense moments ahead.
All right. We've been speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, as always, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
You too, guys. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.